Today we are starting a new series where we are reacting to the comments that we get on some of our social media videos. This was inspired by a post that we made a couple of weeks ago using Honest Ave's new song Stuck on the Floor. I used it to create this meme about tragic rogue backstories, and the comments that we got on that video with tragic backstories, there were so many and they were so sad. So today we're going to read them, react them. I haven't seen a ton of them because there's hundreds of comments. And we're also going to rate them 1 through 10. So it's going to be really fun. And we're hoping to repeat the series in the future with other things our comment section has shared with us, because there's some fire comments out there.
Yeah. And we honestly could probably do more than just these. I have 18 listed today. There was over 800 comments on that video. So I didn't comb through all of them, but these are some of the favorites that I saw from the ones that I did comb through.
Okay. I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Number one. A fallen Azamar Oathbreaker. He was an Oath of Devotion paladin until his group came across a false Hydra. Now he's alone, and no one believes why. So, I pulled up what a false Hydra is for the people who don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, so tell me.
And it has like a fun little description.
Okay.
Imagine you walk into a small town. Everything seems all right, except it's a little off. The town seems pretty big, but you don't see nearly as many people as there should be. Dozens of houses lie empty, and everyone you ask says no one ever lived there. Animals keep freaking out unexpectedly. You trip over seemingly nothing. The False Hydra, if you're a Doctor Who fan, is basically the silence in a D&D monster form. It's not exactly weak, but it just has a few basic bite and claw attacks. Its real power is in its blind song, which makes everyone forget they ever saw the False Hydra when they hear it, as well as anyone that has been eaten by the False Hydra. So all the people who are disappeared in this town are victims of this False Hydra. And so a fallen Azamar Oathbreaker, that he's alone from his party because his entire party was eaten by this False Hydra. And he doesn't know why, and nobody believes him why.
That is sad. I feel bad because I'm a little lost. I'm shocked I haven't heard about the lore of false Hydras more already. But I don't know, it sounds a little complicated to me. Mm. Bit complicated.
I think it's a homebrew monster. I think it's...
Is it?
It's Skull Splitter Dice is the website that I found that little excerpt from.
Huh. So, but I love a good paladin fallen Azamar Oathbreaker Paladin?
Fallen Azamar Oathbreaker Paladin. So angst. That's upon like... angst.
Well, that's funny you say that, because I was about to say, like, that sounds like
that's
my
me.
Thing.
My Chemical Romance and black eyeliner forever.
So that does sound like a pretty classic emo style story. I'm going to give it...
emo girl energy, too.
I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10, just because the only gimmick I heard with this was the false Hydra that I don't know a lot about, admittedly, which could just be my own fault. And we can't start too high.
All right. Well, number two is dealing with another Oathbreaker Paladin. So let's move right along.
Love it.
An Oathbreaker Paladin who gets his powers from his children's love. They went missing and he can't find them.
Aww. That's
yeah,
so sad.
Pretty sad.
That would be a challenging D&D campaign.
Yeah.
If you were like lacking power from not having
like,
it around.
I don't have the love. And like you could like say, I siphon love from external sources. But if the main source of your power is your children's love and you can't find them, you're not playing a paladin. You're playing a fighter with extra rules.
Yeah. Like I'm really curious if like how they role played that in the game. Did they actually have less power or not? Because honestly, that changes kind of the sadness level. I don't know, because in your gameplay, if you ended up just like playing a normal paladin, but like, oh no, but I have to find them. I just feel like the stakes aren't high enough for that to like weigh on my soul, even though it's still sad.
I would love to play, like if I was going to play this character, I would love to do something where it was like nearly a paladin. You know, like we have the squire in our subclass that's like a mixture between a fighter and a paladin. Mm-hmm. And it's just a rework of the purple dragon knight. And so I feel like if you played a purple dragon knight and you were like, typically I'm a paladin, but I'm playing a purple dragon knight because I don't have the power from the love of my children. Like, I think that that's where it's like, ooh, the juice, it's there.
Yeah.
And like, I'm here for it.
Yeah. I'm going to give that one 7.9. I think we can do better.
Okay.
I'm being picky.
I like it, though. I like it. These are some higher numbers, though. Seven's up there for 10. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. That's good. Continuing on to number three, a pixie bard in a village that was raised by sprites. And his wife, who is pregnant with child, used to make music together, was killed in the battle. And so this pixie bard stopped playing music until he found a magical lute that helped made him feel better because it made him feel her presence when he was playing. Now he goes around playing in taverns, not only for the audience, but also himself.
Okay.
That's sad. That's sad where it's like,
that is sad.
I stopped playing music for a long time. And
but I think I like now, this like, one because yeah. You can see the cause and effect. Like, first of all, pregnant wife died in battle. Already, like, super sad start. Okay.
Yes.
Super sad premise. But then to add on that storyline and, like, the motive behind why he's a bard at this point is, like, heartbreaking. I'm going to give that one
9.1. I haven't been submitting mine because I've been very much in agreement. I think your rating scores are on point. If I diverge, I'll let you know.
Okay, though. Okay, sounds good.
9.1, though. I think that's great. All right, on to number four. My character was cursed to come back after death, losing bits of her memory every time. She wrote in a journal every day for thousands of years, dying and coming back again. Forgetting her loved ones and the ones that she died for. All she had at the end of her life was a book with her life in it.
Oh, sad. Was she dying and then coming back with less memory?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was still her same life. She was still the same person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that is really sad, but it's one of those things where it's like ignorance is bliss. Well, I don't know. Was the character reading the journal and then realizing, oh, this is my life and I don't remember it? Or was it more of like an ignorance is bliss thing where it's like, yeah, I don't remember. I feel like you watch a lot of shows where a character's memory gets wiped and they're kind of like, la-da-da-da-da, like they're kind of fine.
But at the same time, if you had glimpses, because you know when you get the deja vu moment, like what if you had that deja vu moment and then you started like, you know, like the prophecy is true. Like you go into the Raven Baxter far stare and you start remembering all these life things. And it's like, this is a life that I don't have that I lived. And like that memory, I feel like would start to burden you after a while.
It reminds me of 51st Dates. Which there's a reason why that's a rom-com.
Point.
You know, it is sad. Don't get me wrong. You know, memory loss is sad. But I feel like you couldn't make 51st Dates if the premise couldn't have been at least a little lighthearted and funny. Like, it's not that dark.
Maybe that's
what I'm looking for is darkness.
I would love, though, if, like in 51st Dates, because I don't know if this party's also coming back. I guess her party members are dying along the way. But say her current party realized that she was on this cycle and could, like, somehow do something to make it so that they either broke the cycle or, like with 51st Dates where it's like, hey, here's an update on what happened in your past three lives.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think that could be really cool. What would you rate this?
6.9.
Nice.
Oh, I feel like it's the least sad so far.
Okay. No, it's fine. That's fine. Some of these aren't, like, as sad as others. I feel like you're looking, like you said, you're looking for dark. You're not, like, are different types of sadness. I'm like, oh, that's like emotionally pulling at my heartstrings, and you're like, I want it to crush me. Like, I feel like that's the
difference. On the brink of tears.
Okay. now we know where our scores differ. Okay. Number five. My character was a Goliath barbarian. He couldn't save his little brother from a forest fire when he was a kid, so he buried his grief with rage.
That is really sad. That's like classic barbarian story. And I'm not judging these based off of how like common these stories feel, because I don't feel like that's incredibly original.
I feel like that's pretty dang original. Like, to me, that gives off like, I started my life as a ranger or as something like I was on a path, and because this event happened, it changed the rest of my life.
Maybe why I don't feel like it's super unique is because I had that character. I had an artificer who found a reason to rage and then became multi-class barbarian and only took levels in barbarian after that.
That is true.
So, yeah. But I still think it's sad. And I'm going to give that one a 7.6.
7.6. All right. I would agree. 7.6 seems pretty justifiable. Next character. I wanted to make a rogue whose parents were alive and funded his rogue training.
Love it. Love it.
I love breaking the stereotype.
But I love that not tragedy only... is about to hit. So tell me more.
That's it.
That was the whole comment.
That's the whole comment. Not only did they break the stereotype with rogues, they also broke the stereotype in the comments by being like, what if I was just happy instead?
I loved it. That's me being like, and?
Nothing. That's the end.
Well, I'm going to give that a zero, but I loved it.
So thank you for the comment. All right, next character, a tabaxi blood hunter. His ancestors were pushed out of their home from a vampire attack. He was forced into the blood hunter clan to get revenge. He joined a blood hunter clan, which blood hunters are like a vampire, or not vampire, a monster hunter, like think Witcher.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of class they are. So he joined a group of basically the Witcher in order to kill these vampires and seek revenge.
I feel so bad. I feel so jaded right now because I'm like, is that sad? I mean, it is sad. If any of these things happened in real life, it would be so sad.
Tragic.
But it's like, I need an arc.
We need ginger. You know how like you eat ginger between sushi? Like, we need to cleanse our palate somehow between every single... So we'll watch the B-movie between every single one. That's the perfect palate cleanser. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld did amazing work in that movie.
No, I don't need a palate cleanser. I need tragedy. And I feel like a revenge arc is like not the saddest character backstory. I'm also kind of like, yeah, you go get that revenge, and I'm like, good for you, you know. And I'm not like, oh no. You know, it's almost like they're getting justice. That's my hope.
I feel that.
So I'm gonna give that one a 6.5.
6.5. Hey, it's not your lowest one. You rated 1.0, so I mean, it's
if anybody who saw this video watches this and feels like I'm belittling their character backstory,
they're gonna come after you with the comments. They're like, Brooklyn doesn't like my character.
I literally would want them to. I would want them to tell me that I'm being rude. I don't know. I don't know what I want. This is fun. We're having fun.
I think you'll like this next one. So okay. This next character, a Firbolg warlock, Pact of Love, which I'm assuming is homebrew because I don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
After watching his wife be killed in front of him, their love granted him power, and he now fights to avenge his wife with love.
Mm. See, this is really similar to the other one, but the difference is ancestors, right, was the other one?
Ancestors.
And this one is your wife. So it feels like a little more connected. So that does tug at my heartstrings a little bit. But also, it's the revenge arc.
Somebody
I love died.
You gotta check under your eyes. How much salt? Like, what's your saltimeter from your tears?
Oh, I was like, what do I have under my eyes?
Salt from tears.
No, not yet. So I'm going to give that one a 7.5 because I do feel like it's like a chunk sadder than the other one, but also like a little, again, a bit simplistic. And you go get that revenge and you have those special warlock powers now. Like, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Well, now let's go for another palate cleanser here with our next character.
Okay.
This video makes me want to make a rogue with a perfectly normal, well-adjusted childhood with loving, caring parents that's completely just a kleptomaniac. Can't stop himself from taking anything not nailed to the ground. Yeah. What's your tragic backstory? My parents love me. I just really like stealing stuff.
I want to give this one like a 2.
A 2?
Because That's still sad. That's sad that, like, you had to make those bad life choices and then you have to ruin people's life when, like, you should have been capable of not being that guy, yeah. kind of a thing,
you
right?
You had the support and something else got mixed up there along the way. And it's like, okay, what? Where was the offshoot that made you like this? Is it innate, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, almost a tinge of sadness.
A tinge. A little sprinkle. A little, yeah. A little sprinkle of salt under your eye right
no,
there.
No, no salt.
Oh, no salt? Not yet? Okay. Next character. An exiled barbarian life cleric. He was exiled because his brother was kidnapped by an Oni when he was 11, and his herd thought him to be weak. An Oni is a genie in D&D. Like, it's like an evil genie kind of thing. Being of great power that took his brother away, and then when he went back to his clan and he was like, I lost my brother, his clan was like, well, like, you were too weak to protect your brother, and therefore you were not welcome.
Yeah, that's sad. That's really sad, because it's like a double whammy,
yeah.
you know, losing your brother and then being rejected by everyone.
Yes.
And you're literally left with nothing when you lose, like, your entire community and a family member. And it's like, where do you even go from there? So that, to me, that's like a dark night of the soul kind of a moment where it's like, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give this one a 9.3.
Chef's kiss. 9.3? Is that your highest rate?
Yes, it is.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, pew, pew, pew. Next character. One time, I played an animated toaster who only woke up when he fell on the counter onto a magic gem. Is that the plot of Brave Little Toaster?
What? I haven't seen Brave Little Toaster since I was like seven.
Really?
No,
oh,
I've okay. seen it. I watched
oh,
it a
gotcha.
Bunch.
I haven't seen it. So
oh.
I've just heard you talk about it. So I would just be shocked if you were like, you're a Brave Little Toaster. And I'm like, what? And you're like, I don't know. It's just something people say.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm very confused by that comment. I'm going to give a big ol' N/A and say... I don't know.
I'm going to give you one Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah, that's the rating.
You get one Brave Little Toaster of the sadness
Congrats.
Scale.
Very nice.
Continuing on, my kobold gunslinger started the game with all of his friends and family. He ended the game with no family and was on a different world with a team of strangers. The thing that I really liked about this one...
Mm-hmm.
That gives me, like, Guardians of the Galaxy vibes, where it's like, Star-Lord has nothing, and he goes with these aliens. Spoilers for Guardians of the Galaxy, if you haven't seen
good
it,
job,
I guess.
Good job remembering.
Because his mom dies at the very beginning, and that's why he decides to run away with the Guardians of the Galaxy, or not the Guardians, but that's how he gets to space, and so, anyway, I just thought that was kind of reminiscent of that, and I think the Guardians of the Galaxy story is emotionally heart-wrenching.
Yeah, it is, but I feel like part of what makes Guardians of the Galaxy that heart-wrenching is other things, you
yeah.
know, like there's a lot of depth there that is kind of missing here. So it's like a good, like a lot of these things I feel like are a good start, but it's like but
premise.
What did this mean for your character? What happens next? What's
yeah.
yeah, like what's the conflict that they, you know, how do they try to resolve it, or what else goes wrong in their life that makes that even more challenging or whatever. So I would say this is sad for sure, but could be sadder. And therefore, I'm going to give it a 8.4.
8.4. That's a good base. That's a
yeah.
good base. The 1.6 that's remaining, I feel like, could be made up with a little
yeah.
bit more detail.
Yeah.
And
feels
again,
generous.
There could be more detail. I might have accidentally cut off a few of these because they were multiple comments
yeah.
long. And sometimes you don't find everything. So, next character. This next character was a Warforged Bard of the Swords. He spent the whole campaign desperately trying to prove that he had a soul for his creator. Turns out he didn't.
Oh!
Isn't that so sad?
Oh.
Like, you spend your whole life trying to prove something that ends up being wrong.
To have enough like, sentience to know... That's a good thing, that you want to have a soul,
yeah.
that makes you more valuable, that you feel
yes.
like you have to prove yourself
to not
for
only
its
yourself,
creator,
but your creator.
for your creator to know in their heart of hearts, in their actual soul, that that's not the case.
I give it a 10.
Also, this reminds me of Westworld, which is like top three best shows I've watched in my entire life. Probably will not ever be beat out from that top three spot, I think.
Loved Westworld. It, highly recommend.
I wonder if it's inspired by Westworld.
I wonder.
If not, then they really need to watch.
Again, some of these could have could have some really like big influences.
9.9. I'm sorry. I think there's sadder out there, but it's by far my favorite.
Well, I disagree. I disagree. And the court overrules it.
Because it's still a robot, right? Like, it's a sad story. But at the end of the day, it never had a soul.
You can feel humanity for this robot.
100%. Though. That's why I'm giving it a 9.9. But, like, like I'm going to... A human deserves a 10. Robot.
No. Robots, I love, like, Warforged and Autonomes. And, like, any chance I get to play a robot in a D&D campaign, like, I'm going to do it. And I love, like, making little robot voices. So... A robot stand, though, I guess. So, 10. You get one from me. All right. This next character is a turtle druid Circle of the Wildfire. He lost his wife in a forest that burned down his entire home. Woke up connected to the spirit that started that fire.
That is very interesting.
Very interesting.
We're not ranking this, but points for uniqueness. Like,
yes,
I feel like that's...
Lots of... flavor
yeah,
in that
yeah.
One.
The premise for that, I'm like, oh, I'm intrigued. Yeah. You know, like definitely doesn't feel too basic. So mm-hmm. Props to that. Definitely sad for sure, and I'm gonna give it an
8.9. I think that's fair. All right, this next character. I'm a rogue / weather mage, but I can't control the weather, so it's constantly raining on me.
What's her name?
I think it's Tia.
Is it Tia?
Or is it Tia something? Because she's the aunt.
Yeah, I think
but
it's
the aunt from Encanto that I think of with like the rain cloud over her head. Mm-hmm. I love we love
that's
that
like
movie.
That's like sad and would be really annoying, but like kind of sad in a cute way, like it is in the show.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, oh man.
Also, if it's raining on you all the time, that does make me think maybe I don't know if it goes along with emotions, but maybe she's sad all the time, and that would be kind of sad. It would be sad to like have a huge, you know, like written on your forehead
like
that
no
you're sad.
Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
which is like how it,
it
is in Kanto too. Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I love that idea, but sadness level, I don't think it's that high. So I'm going to give it a 6.5, but like, no hate, you know?
All right. Love it. Moving right along. I was a half elven rogue whose father left, causing their mother to snap and become fixated on her son because he was all that she had left of her father, of his father. He's essentially a captive of his mother's overprotectiveness.
This is like some real world.
Yeah. Well, also, can you imagine, like, you know how, like, there's, like, the DMPC effect, but, like, this is, like, no, my mom's chasing me. And so either she's like a bad guy or I'm guessing she's part of the party. Like, can you imagine having your mom like be a helicopter parent as an NPC in the party being like, hey, make sure you cannot go into the front line of the battle. Like, I forbid it. Like, I forbid you to. That kind of adds a little bit of like a fun dynamic to the
yeah,
party, I think,
yeah.
For sure.
It's like sad. I don't think it's like a tragic backstory. It's almost more just injustice. It's like messed up for you. It's like a conflict that needs to be resolved, but not as much like a sad backstory. Besides the fact, I mean, still his dad died and his mom lost her husband. So again, I have a skewed sense of what's sad.
We
in
didn't
this
take
case.
A ginger between, so we didn't watch the entirety of the B movie.
I guess
so there's
I
no
guess.
Palate cleanser there.
So I'm gonna give this one 6.9.
Nice. All right, our last character for the night.
Okay.
My character was evil, but he was trying to do better, and lost his daughter along the way. So. He did the unspeakable to bring her back, and now she wants nothing to do with him.
Ooh, there's some layers to play with here. I love a villain arc. Everybody does, right? They're very popular right now. But I love that he was maybe not in a great spot, really trying to get better, like,
yes,
that pushing that direction from like evil to good is really cool. But then to be like kind of slingshotted back due to that experience and still super sad. And if you're gonna have a villain backstory, like, sad is the way to go, in my opinion.
You know what that reminds me of now that we say that out loud? I'm seeing connections, like, which is great in a backstory. Dr. Horrible from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Oh.
Spoilers for Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, I guess, a little bit.
Oh, but yeah.
Yeah, like,
which is a sad film.
I love it. Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris, you should watch it. It's a great movie. I guess this is turning into our TV show and movie recommendations.
Yeah, apparently. But they're all great recommendations.
They're all great recommendations. Ooh. But there's reasons that we think like this with these characters, I feel like. It's because, like, they have a really great basis, and they might be basing it off of these, but even if not,
yeah,
like, they see the tropes in media, and they're following it so well. And
well,
I think
they are tropes. I don't feel like a lot of the ones we've liked, you know, I don't feel like they're cliche.
Yeah.
Like, they're extremely overused.
Right.
Like, I don't feel like this one is overused at all. And so it's like, okay, even if whether they did or didn't base it off of Dr. Horrible or any other character, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's a great story. And it's not worth your time trying to tell a brand new story that nobody's ever told. That is a silly thing to pursue.
And very hard to do. Like, the thing that makes a story unique is you. And sometimes you can have seedlings from other pieces of literature or otherwise that you can put into your own media that it's like, this is a character. And then, like, because you put yourself into that character becomes very fresh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of my favorite things about backstories, is the fact that, like, yes, you could bring a backstory to the table, but that backstory is going to kind of, like, have this chemical reaction with your personality and make such a cool character. And that's why the characters that you make are so original.
Yeah, I love that. Preach.
Preach.
That was fun. Yeah. Really good. And
there were so many more. I probably looked through 50 to get 18.
Oh, see, that kills me. And
I know.
There's got to be other, like, 9.9s in there.
Yeah,
kind of a thing.
Or 10s, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure there is.
We should go through the video again. And maybe we could do a part 2 to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worth it. That'd
Patreon
be awesome.
Content, maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for this special bonus episode. If you like this episode, go on over to patreon.com/knocked and check out some of our bonus shows where we might have more from this on our Patreon. Thank you again for following us on social media and for everyone who submitted. Thank you so much. You absolutely rock. Thank you for being a fan of our show. And we hope that you remember when life knocks you flat on your back, all you got to do is keep rolling.
And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Afterlife.
Oh.
We did 2 different ones. That's fine.